When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. It's Monday when we're recording this. I think you're hearing it on a Tuesday. But lots to talk about. First up, let's just bring him in off the top. He was my co-host from another show host. It was like many years ago, 5 years ago, 2016. Yeah. Pre-Trump. Oh my God. That's when we had a podcast. It was a different world. It's like the new pre-9/11. He is the author and creator of AppleRankings.com, which is a hilarious site where you can read about apples. He's also a hilarious stand-up comedian. He's been a writer on a show like Adam Ruins Everything. What other shows have you done? Am I getting all your credits right?
Yeah, this is
your own
great.
Comedy Central animated series. What was that called?
There was a show on Netflix called Adventure Beast.
Yes.
There was a Comedy Central Snapchat show called George Washington DTF, but we don't have to go through all my credits. I mean, you can see my credits and also.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's it. Just gives you a little bit of notoriety. Not that my fans care. They just care that they do care, but they care that you're just my friend and you're funny. I think, and that's the truth for you. You're funny, nice, and my friend. And we've been friends for a while. I met him. What did we meet? 2000.
Oh my God,
11,
a long time
12,
ago. This must have been
13.
Earlier. I think 2009 or 2010, because we met in Indiana.
I know. We met at the first club I ever headlined. You made the first poster for the first show I ever headlined at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana. Yeah. But he was a comic on the scene then. And he's my friend now, and he's here with us. His name is Brian Frangi.
Yes. Hello. Hello.
Welcome to the show. Hello.
Thank you.
And Anya's here. Noah is here.
Hi.
We got started off today when we all got on the thing, and I asked Brian how he was doing, and he was like, "Me? I'm good." It was just like a very like you thought about it, and then you said, "I said okay, good," and you go, "I try to answer that sincerely." That's what I like about you. You have like a shimmer of autism, right? Can we all agree? Not all agree, but all of you.
Yeah, if I could go to a doctor, I'm sure they could diagnose me with something. But like, I feel like, you know, I feel like everybody could get diagnosed with something, but I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, we could.
I'm not autistic.
No, you're not. I'm sorry to say that. I mean, I think I have a shimmer of
right
it too, but
gate.
I like that you have. What'd you say, Anya?
Right out of the gate, Nikki diagnoses you.
I'm not. I'm just like, there's, well,
what
when
makes
someone's
you think
just like
he is,
so
though?
Honest, because he's very, he has a lot of theories. He has, he's just an interesting person. He's a quirky person. And I think sometimes quirky people, you can maybe leap to a thing. I don't know what it is. There's a neurodivergence there. I give it to myself too. I'm complimenting myself because I see a lot of the same things I like about, the same things I feel sometimes weird about, being too honest or being like too, like, I know exactly what I want and the way I see things, I see in Brian. And like just being, and not being able to lie about how are you, or not like not being able to lie. Of course you can. Brian's great at reading social cues. He's not like, not that there's anything wrong if you can't, but yeah, you're just you're a quirky person. You're a quirky guy, right? Wouldn't you say
yeah.
so?
I would say so. You know, speaking of quirks, you have an admirable quality that I want to point out that's in the same vein.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to hear an admirable quality?
Yeah, because saying you had a shimmer of autism, I want to say that was me saying you. I guess we haven't hung out enough that I'm obsessed with people with autism and I want to have it. And so that was me being nice, but it seemed like I was like bullying you right out of the gate. Okay, what is my admirable quality? Tell me now.
I took it as a compliment, honestly.
Okay,
I like
okay,
the
okay.
idea of being focused on things and, you know, interesting. But your
you
admirable
are.
Quality is when you learn about a thing, a new thing, especially if it's a niche thing,
mm-hmm.
you have the ability to dive into every single thing that's been written on that and read everything about it within yeah. the next day.
Yes. But do you have that too? I have a feeling you might have that too.
Well, that's kind of how I feel about apples, because I can rank apples. I'll go in for, like, it's pretty
oh, yeah.
crazy
He's
to go in.
He's definitely on the spectrum. I forgot he has an Apple blog.
Yes.
I can give an Apple ranking website where I give every apple a score out of 100 based on 10-point rubric. And, you know, that's yes. there's a little bit of, like, focus that needs to be allotted to
yes.
that.
Yes. Are you remembering anything that I got really into and learned about overnight that, like, is the basis for this? Does anything come to mind?
Oh, well, I mean, there's tons of things. Definitely personality disorders.
Yeah. which I just casually, I don't read everything. I read a third of things, as my fans know. I read like a third of books and then I go, okay, I get it. Like,
yeah.
Usually
right.
books like repeat
right
themselves 100 times.
Oh,
I dive
yeah.
right in.
Oh, yeah. I'll wake up and there will be 374 texts from Nikki because she's been up since 4 a.m. reading about sociopathy and she's taken a quiz and sent like 37
yeah.
screenshots of her results of the quiz.
Yes.
And then she knows everything about sociopathy.
That's a disorder.
After that.
I mean, there's something wrong with me. Do you know what I'm into right now that I read everything about yesterday? I think we can probably guess.
Pizza.
Diddling din 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 din. Diddling din 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 din.
Diddling
din din din. Boom boom ding. Diddling. Yeah, Succession.
Nicholas something.
Nicholas Braun. I mean, I read everything about Succession that I could find yesterday. I googled Succession HBO. Then I went to news results. Boom. Went down the list. Read every think piece that I, that caught my eye, that I thought maybe there's something new info to be gleaned from this. So I know.
Is it true
a lot
that shows is about the Murdoch family, like the family that owns
loosely,
Fox?
Loosely, but yes, yes. I mean, it doesn't okay. completely line up perfectly, but they do have, I believe, 2 sons and a daughter, and there's estrangement. I mean, I'm guessing, Brian, you love Succession as well. By knowing who you are.
Well, I've only watched the first couple episodes so far. I'm late to the game. I'm
late.
Well,
you're just
really
like
late.
Me then, dude. I only watched 3 episodes for so many years. And I was like, it's like I can't, like, I got into it, but I didn't. Let yourself get into it, man. I just finished. I went through 3 seasons, which was 29 episodes, 1 hour and 5 minutes each. Let's take off of 5 minutes because at the end they do like, they talk about the episode or whatever and there's credits. So 29 hours of my life. That's a day and some change. I realize it contributed to my lack of sleep last week. It it's rare that I want to watch something over sleep. I mean, I would say it almost never happens. I really do value sleep. When I'm tired, I like to sleep. But Succession was more entertaining than my dreams last week. And it I finished it. I'm a little disappointed. Can I just say that everyone that's seen three seasons, there was something that happened in season three, because I remember it distinctly. When I was just a person that did not watch Succession, I remember a moment. No, I remember in 2021, there was a moment when everyone was watching it where everyone lost their mind and was like, last night, Succession. I don't remember if it was the season finale. I don't remember if it was episodes. I don't remember what episode it was. But there was a cultural moment where everyone who was watching it lost their mind. And I remember being jealous. It was like the Red Wedding episode of Game of Thrones. It was like these seminal moments on TV shows where everyone collectively that is watching it was like, that's the greatest thing, and they all collectively share this feeling of awe and shock. You know, those are usually listed the other way around, but I changed it up. Awe and shock. And and it didn't happen. I don't know where it was. I don't know what people were freaking out about. Let me just say, the season three finale didn't catch the big twist. I watched it yesterday at I was flying back from Buffalo. I can't believe it was yesterday. It feels like so long ago, but I didn't sleep on Saturday night. We did a show in Buffalo. I stayed up all night. I wasn't watching Succession. I was just like, couldn't sleep because I had to get up at 3:30, and then the time changed and it went from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock so fast. almost instantly, some would say. And then, so it was like 11 o'clock, and then it was 2 o'clock, and I was like, what the fuck just happened? And then I had to go to the airport at 4, and then get on my flight at 5. Like, it was crazy, and then I didn't sleep. But I watched Succession, like, bleary-eyed in the Admiral's Club in Charlotte, and I did not catch the twist until I read a bunch of New Yorker pieces about the twist, and I was like, oh, and then I had to go back and see, because so many things happen in Succession where it's like someone will witness something and there's no dialogue. So if you don't see that person see the thing, I mean, this happens in a lot of shows. I had to like watch it, you know, not just like listen with my eye mask on and just let it talk me to sleep like a mom telling me a story. So I'm just a little disappointed, though, that the twist was not as crazy as everyone seemed to be losing their minds about in 2021. It's fine. It was great. It was not like lose your mind moment. Brian, those moments? Yeah, there's no shock. I'm awe, and then I went to a yawn. I was like, oh.
Awe and yawn.
That was not that great. But the show is fantastic. I'm obsessed, and I've read every single thing that I can get my hands on. If you, bestie, know any article that isn't the New Yorker one with Jesse, the creator, or with the Kendall one that's very famous, or the new GQ one about Kendall, I've read those. But if you know any others from back in the day, any interviews, I would love you if you send them to me, because I am just like, wanting to sop up everything I can about this show, because I don't understand knowing so much about something that you could write a show like this. I'm so jealous. I'm jealous that, like, if I wanted to write a show about corporate, like, behemoths, I would not know anything about money, about, like, IPOs, about, like, and Chris, my boyfriend, whenever I lament about, like, because every time we watch a show, I just go, how could I ever write something like this? I don't know anything about, like, even Last of Us. I go, if the end of the world happened, how do they figure out like Fedra, like these, like what Fedra is? How do they come up with that name? And then the fireflies, and he's like, it's a creative thing. And also you like hire people who are experts about this stuff. So like, say you wanted to like write about the army, you would hire someone who knows a lot about the army and say, I want this thing to happen. And they would fill it in. And I'm like, oh, like you get a task rabbit to do certain things. But I do think there are some writers who know everything. And that just no stuff. Brian, thoughts?
I think that the show is not real. And the stuff that they're showing is not necessarily how it actually is. And then that defines what we all think it actually is. And it seems so accurate that we now think that that's the way it is. I'm not saying it's not like that. Whoa, but man. I think like, you know, if the end of the world happened, we have many different apocalypse shows, and they have all different takes on what the army would do in that situation. And it's like, did all of them consult a military expert and come up with they're going to have a barbed wire fence? You know, they all didn't do that. And
okay. But like, Wait, how do you feel about Last of Us?
Because I'm bad.
Brian will write me, like, I'll post on my Instagram story something like The Last of Us, and Brian wrote to me once, he was like, Last of Us is the new Game of Thrones. And I was so happy to hear that, because Brian used to come over to my, this is so weird, you guys, not so weird, but Brian and my boyfriend Chris are friends. They met through me, but, and Brian worked on my show, Not Safe. He was, we did a podcast together, but he was also the, worked in my digital department, and he killed it. But he, they would watch Game of Thrones when Game of Thrones was on. I guess this was like the penultimate season, right?
This season five, at least seasons five and six, I think.
Okay.
The good seasons. I mean, seasons good one season. Through three were good. Season five was good. Should I go through all the seasons?
I mean, was it seven good? Seasons total?
Oh, I don't know anymore.
Okay, well, all I know is the last season sucked and you guys were all upset. But the seasons that we watched, that you guys watched together, Brian would come over, so would Tim, Chris's brother. They would, the ritual was they watched the episode from the week before. During that episode from the week before that they had already seen, they could talk. They could discuss what was going to happen in the next one. They could talk about fan theories, comment on anything they want. That was an interactive moment. Then the Game of Thrones would start, and there it would need to be dead silence and respect, like in a fucking funeral, throughout the entire new episode. There was no chiming in. I'm a very active watcher, so I could not watch any of this because, first of all, it was too violent. There's too many, like, and I just didn't catch onto it. So I would go in my room and sleep during this time, but they would have these, and then I would come out at the very end when I would, like, feel it wrapping up, and there would be this, like, they would still not talk. They would not talk for, like, 5 minutes after the credits would end. They would just all be, like, in stunned silence, processing what they just watched, whether it was good or bad, and then they would have a discussion after that. It was like this weird, it was this ritual. I respected it, but what is it about, and so I was really happy because I felt left out of that. I felt happy that you have now deemed, I even told Chris, I was like, Brian says Last of Us is the new Game of Thrones. I was so happy to, like, be in on this thing that was so sacred before. Do you have the same ritual for Last of Us?
Not yet, but I do want to comment on the Game of Thrones experience. There was also part of the ritual was I would get a Lenny and Larry's complete cookie, which is a protein cookie. Yeah. Pretty sizable.
I was going to ask if there was
a vegan
cookie.
Yes.
A vegan cookie, and I would nibble on it throughout the
entire episode. Yeah, you would. Oh, your nibbling made me so mad because I was into those too at the time, and I would finish mine so fast. And you were. I can't stand nibble. Anya's a nibbler too, and I just watch. I can't stand it because I can't nibble. And so I watch you, and I just go, how does someone take a bite of something, a tiny bite, and then put it back down and then chew it? And then maybe have a conversation in between the next bite or like maybe take a phone call. I get into an Uber with a Starbucks. I swear to God, every single time, because I'll sometimes have my Uber stop at a Starbucks before we head to the airport, they always put down they're like, oh, please, please, please. And they like put down the rest in between so that I have a cup holder. And I go, I'm not setting this down. There's no point in which I'm going to set this. Who sets of delicious beverage on. I'm going to chug this extra hot venti thing within 2.5 minutes. It's going to be done. And I'm going to be sucking out the foam and using my finger to like scrape it. So you would nibble on your little cookie because you have self-control.
Well, I don't set it down.
Apparently.
I don't set it down. I keep it up there and I just keep nibbling. Yeah, nibbles.
Yeah,
needs to be
you look
mouse-like.
Like a little guinea pig. Uh-huh.
Do you nibble through the cookie or do you have like a ritual? Do you eat around like in circles?
Oh, interesting. How do you do are you kidding me? Brian is not doing anything willy-nilly. There is a ritual behind it. There's a plan in place.
In general, I would nibble a circumference first. Rotating it like a dial.
No way!
Because, I've seen that.
Well,
no
because
way!
the outer edges are generally easier to nibble. And as you get deeper into the cookie, they become dense. And you have to...
And that's the better part. Like, you're saving the epicenter for the end. Like, the best.
Yes. Oh, but first I forgot. This is really going to make
you
sound weird.
And then what? Mm-hmm.
I forgot to mention that I opened the package. And then I smell it. For like 10 minutes.
No. For 10 minutes.
About, well, okay. So what you have to understand is the cookie, I would know how much we had left in the episode depending on how much cookie I had left.
Or you
I had it down to a sign. Look at your watch.
I will never look at my watch, and I will certainly not do the thing.
Game of Thrones times.
I won't pretend to press pause so I can see the little line come up on the bottom of the screen because it takes you out of the experience.
Oh, I do that all the time. I like to move my cursor, or I pause. No. I pause shows all the time to be like, "What do we got left? Why isn't there an easy way to look on?" And by the way, just sidebar, and maybe do you have this thing too? Do you watch a lot of YouTube? Who doesn't? Okay. Why is YouTube so hard to fast forward and rewind? What the fuck is the toggle? Yeah. I don't know what it is. I've never given myself opportunity because anytime I want to even try to figure it out, I know that it's going to skip to the next video. What is the toggle? Does anyone know?
It's all capitalism. It's all based on ads. You're right.
What, they don't want you to be able to fast forward 15 seconds or behind 15 seconds? Like my porn, I love to be able to go...
I don't know what you mean when you say, what is the toggle?
No, for fast forwarding and rewinding YouTube videos, if you want to go 10 seconds ahead, how do you do that without putting your finger on the cursor at the bottom and tracing it and then getting it wrong?
There's on the screen, you can tap on the right side of the screen and it goes forward 10 seconds.
No, what? No, no.
Or the left side of the screen? On the screen itself.
Oh, there's God. No little marker. It's just the screen. Hold on. Gonna try it out. Kelly Clarkson covers 1979 by Smashing Pumpkins. Brian, thank you. Okay, go back. Okay, we answered that. That just worked for me. Thank you so much for that.
That blew my mind the same way when you taught me the cursor, or someone taught me just moving the cursor on the iPhone. You just hold it down and then you can move it all over the place when you're texting.
Yeah, people don't know that. If you're in the middle of a text paragraph, and you have a misspelling or there's a period that wasn't supposed to be there, you need to put quotes or something, instead of like just tapping it and trying to get the cursor exactly where you want it to in the text, you can hold down your finger and the cursor will go there, and then you just keep holding it and then move the cursor around on the screen and you can move it wherever you want it to. And that, there's a new one in town, you guys. Updated my iPhone. When you send an email, this is crazy. You send an email, draft it, and then you go to the little button that would be to send it, like the blue arrow, hold that, and then it will give you the option to send tomorrow at whatever time, and then you can send it in the a.m. because how many times at night when you're in the middle of the night and you want to send someone a bunch of pages about sociopathy do you go, this is going to look chaotic coming at 4 a.m. I would like to send this at 9:30 a.m. And that's where you can do it. Isn't that cool? So that's the new one. Okay,
question.
Go back to cook.
Are you
we have to go to break.
Gmail or MacMail?
MacMail? I'm not using MacMail. Like, who the fuck is using
MacMail? On your phone, do you always use Gmail or do you use like this little guy?
I'm talking MacMail. Sorry. I don't know who uses Gmail. No. I mean, I use Gmail literally through my Mac mail, but I don't on my home computer use the mail. Don't know why.
I never know how to set that one up.
It's always jumping up and down. It's always like, come on. You know, like on your notifications. And I'm like, get out of here. It's making weird noises. It's chiming during Zoom meetings. I don't want it. I'll go to the web browser. I'll type in gmail.com. I don't want you jumping around. I don't want final draft. Stop jumping around and reminding me that I have a script that I will never start. Just down there. Okay. We are going to go to break and we'll come back with more Brian Frangie. We'll pick him back up where we started, where he's sniffing his cookie. And then and tracing where he is in the Game of Thrones episode right after this.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app, Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we're back. So you're in your cookie. It's helping you trace the time. Any other things that would happen during this Game of Thrones ritual that I missed out on?
Well, it was very nice of you because it was your house and we'd watch the show, and then you would give us our 15-minute grace period where we could sit there in silence and absorb what just occurred. And you would come out and you would start making fun of us and also. Trying to understand what happened, why do we feel this way, and yes. Appreciating the show itself.
Yes. Thank you, Brian. Thank you.
Yes.
I don't mock something. If someone loves something, it's not just me just mocking it. And yesterday I was with my assistant, Jen, and my hair and makeup stylist / friend, Robin, and we were in Miami for this event. And they got on about F1, and Chris loves F1, and Robin loves F1, and Jen loves F1. And I said something about F1. They go, oh my God, I love it. And I go, why? And they got very, at first they were defensive. They were like, because it's the best. And I'm like, no. I'm not asking why, like, ew, why? Sometimes I do that. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I'm very judgmental. I go, get me to like it. Please explain to me why I don't have this chip in my brain that enjoys cars go fast, round, round, vroom, vroom, might flip over and like spill into the audience and kill people. I realized my biggest hesitation with any auto racing is the chance that I'm going to be injured during it, that I'm going to be in a car accident that I'm not in, you know, like that a car accident's going to come into me. And they told me that rarely happens. It happened like one time in like 1960 something with like there was a huge F1, you know, but they're often, you know, just going like through like Monaco, and there are hundreds of people with babies, and I'm like, how is this car not one time just like the guy gets a text message and just careens into the crowd? This is the same reason I don't like air shows. So yeah, I would come out and try to understand, what is it about Game of Thrones? It's so cute to me when my boyfriend especially is like, I get kind of, you know, I get horny when he's into like when he gets like reared up about like, you know, sexual things, like when I see him get like turned on by something, I'm like very interested in like, oh, do you love that? Or when I found out as a kid he like played with Legos, I was like, what, that was your thing? Like, that's so cute. Like, I love learning what he loves. And so that's why sometimes I get, I think, hurt where I'm like, Chris, why don't you care why I like Taylor Swift? Like, there's never been a question. And my family doesn't either. My family is just, I go, aren't you interested why I'm obsessed with Taylor Swift? Like, no one's ever asked me why. Why does this mean so much to you? And it's because that is how I show my love is like, or how I feel connected to someone is figuring out how, why do they care about this so much? So I still... I get it with Game of Thrones. I mean, you're definitely not alone, but I still don't. It's like football for me. I don't understand how you guys keep it all, how you memorize all of this shit and how it all sticks in your head and how you, the characters don't. Because I've watched a couple episodes and it's in one ear and out the other. I don't, or in one eye and out the other, out my asshole, because I just don't, I can't retain it. So yeah, that was always fun though, because I could just go and get my 7 p.m. nap and I'd come out with like indentations in my face from my sleep mask and just be like, hey guys, and like get my, pick up my dog and kind of like let it out, and then you guys would all just be in stunned silence. Chris would be like weeping sometimes. I'm like, he's never cried with me. Okay, like it would just be, it's, it was so cute that you guys all cared about something so much.
So what would they tell you when you would walk out and be like, why are you guys into this? What was their answer?
It'd be like, oh,
it would be longer than I'd want it to be. what is it, Brian? Like, what it, can you try to answer that for me right now? Like, what is it? Because I'm guessing that you really haven't found a replacement for it since.
No, when I say Last of Us is the next Game of Thrones, I really mean that it is appointment television that people, that the lot of people seem to be watching at the same time.
It's so, nice. Yeah. That something doesn't just dumped on you. Nice. It's nice that it's from Taylor Swift's Bejeweled. Nice. It's nice when something isn't just dumped on you and you just binge all the episodes. I like this doling out. You know, the doling out does not work with Love is Blind. Netflix, listen up. I don't care about these characters enough for you to take a little hiatus. I'm not coming back. I'm going to forget who they are.
If it's in Portuguese.
Yeah, you can't dole them out like it's a HBO critically acclaimed dramatization series. Yeah. You can't. It's nice that you tried. You don't. It's not going to be destination TV. We want to watch it in one binge when we're going through a depressive state of our lives and we want to watch other people's going through something as well. Like, we're not doing well when we watch these shows. If you want a consistent viewership, you gotta, it can't be Love is Blind. So I agree. I look forward to every Sunday with Last of Us. It's a ritual. It feels like, you know, back to the way it was. Interesting enough, you know, Chris Rock having that live special and having that be, that did well for Netflix, you know, people tuning in live. We're back where we're back at live TV. We came back full circle.
It's the 1950s all over again.
We're all watching the fucking moon landing. Yeah. Any other things to say about Game of Thrones?
About Game of Thrones? Well,
yeah, I guess you didn't answer my question because I interrupted you about why it matters so much.
Why does it matter? Well, I think you just get really invested in the characters and the world. And even though it was like horrible, I think a little bit of part of me wants to be in the medieval times. And I kind of wonder, like, what would
Chris
I be?
Chris does, too. Chris wants to be in post-apocalyptic world.
He just like, wants to be tearing apart a Cornish hen.
I will be dead, Chris.
Well, you joined
like,
him.
I remember watching Last of Us, and it's almost like when Elaine, and remember on Seinfeld when Elaine doesn't believe in God or heaven and hell, and Putty, her boyfriend, does? And she goes, you think I'm going to hell? Which I am not, because it doesn't exist. But you think I'm going to hell? And he's like, it's going to be rough. And she's like, but David, hell with the devil and the heat? My God, the heat. And he's like, going to be rough. Like, that's how I feel when Chris like loves post-apocalyptic stuff. I'm like, I'm going to be raped constantly. I'm not going to have running water. Like, I know you get to like go battle fucking zombies, but it's going to be rough for me. Like, we consider me, and not that like his wish is going to come true, but I get mad that people want to live in those. We're so lucky we're not living medieval times. Aren't you so happy?
God, yes. I'd have to be like scrubbing all those mushrooms off the wall. That's all I'd be doing, is cleaning the fucking mushrooms.
Oh, I don't think about that at all. I'm like, oh, thank God, an excuse not to clean. Everything is dirty. Finally. I mean, it is gross. There's no like Kimptons to check into and like be like, there's no nice linens anymore in Last of Us.
I haven't seen one fitted sheet on Last of Us. They're all on a dirty mattress on the floor.
I know. know, he had that wound and she kept covering his shirt back up. I'm like, you're reinfecting the wound with his dirty shirt. Stop. Just leave it open to the air.
What sound did you make when she injected him with penicillin the first time?
I said, Chris, this is the grossest thing I've seen on the in my entire life, was her putting a needle into a wound. I can't even think. I can't think of maybe in that movie. Remember the movie, there's like a pie movie? I think it's called Pie. And there's like a needle in an eye or something weird happens with, oh no, Pan's Labyrinth. There's some eye thing in that. And I go, this is worse than that. The characters, all that stuff. Okay, I want to set you up. Brian, you came in, you said you had a story that you want to tell.
Yeah, this weekend I had an ordeal.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring us through it. Hold our hands through your ordeal.
Yeah, so I had a very stressful weekend because there's my neighbor is I guess he's like a farmer. My neighbor.
Don't you live in Culver City?
Yes. Oh no. Yes, I live in Culver City. I don't want to.
His neighbor's
is a neighborhood in Los Angeles. Everyone.
Yes, my neighbor is a farmer. He has a lot of land and he farms. And my window looks out into his yard, and I see him farming, and he's a nice man. But to protect his crops, he puts out traps. And
ooh, that Last of Us.
Yes, and frequently he traps animals like squirrels, possum, things like that. And sometimes he leaves them in that trap for a long time. Like, you're allowed to trap animals, but you can't just leave them in there.
Yeah.
And I've called, and so I've been watching this guy's yard for years, and like I've called animal control on him probably like 3 or 4 times over the last 3 years. Because I'm like, hey, there's a squirrel in there, there's a possum in there, there's something in there, and they're not letting it out. It's been in there for a long time.
God damn it.
The local animal control person would go down there and they would give him a warning and they would release the animal and they would say, you really can't leave it in there for that long. And so he's been spoken to. So on Friday of this weekend, I'm expecting to have a nice, pleasant weekend. And I look out the window and I see in his backyard, there is a possum trapped in his cage. And it's raining and this possum's probably been in there since the night because it's a nocturnal creature. And I'm like, I can't believe this possum in there. But I'm going to keep an eye on it because, like, you know, if it's in there for too long, this guy needs to let it out.
Of course it's going to be in there too long. He never lets them out. So, yes.
So I all day I'm watching this possum in this cage, and it's just so excruciating to watch this possum be like, what is this? He's like, maybe I can get out now. Maybe I can get out. And you can never get out.
No, it's just like, no, you'll never get out. Like, that's my problem. People are like, sometimes people don't understand why I care more about animals than human rights issues. It's because humans can understand their circumstance. Yes. Humans can go, I'm starving right now. I mean, not children is a different thing, but even children can kind of grasp and conceptualize what is happening. We're in war right now. It's raining. I'm scared. I'm lonely. Animals are just fucking terrified and have no, there's no accepting their fate. That is the part that breaks my heart, is that confusion, that keeping trying to get out, that every animal that everyone eats feels.
Yes. And so you have to give a grace period because it's like you're allowed to trap the animal, and then you can, after like a few hours, you can take it to the woods away from your crops. I go to sleep. I wake up the next morning and I look out my window and the possum is still there. So that means it's been in there for over 24 hours. At this point, I sent an email to the animal control, the local animal control guy. I have an email thread with him. We correspond. And I called him and nobody answered. And I'm like, okay, well, no one's answering. And then at a certain point, after more and more hours pass, it's raining. And worst of all,
I have to say, if I was listening to this podcast, I would stop listening right now because I can't take the story. I will stay on because I'm the host, but I am so uncomfortable with an animal's struggle. If this were not my podcast, I would just go, I'm assuming this story ends well. I'm not listening. So will
just
you get to
the
fucking ending right
ahead.
Now?
Okay.
I need to know. Is this possum okay? I can't handle this. Okay, well, just keep going. I'm just saying I'm very uncomfortable.
I get it. The people there's people walking around in the backyard. They see this possum. I know that they
Fuck
see it.
This guy, this fucking farmer. Okay, I hate call, him so much.
So I call the police, the local police, not 911. I call the police station and I say, "Hey, there's a person with a possum. It's howling in the backyard. Can someone just go over there and tell them to release it? Because I don't want to go over there because I don't want this guy to know that I'm a snitch. I want to keep looking out my window.
Totally.
I don't want anyone to know that I'm some guy, you know, peeking through the blinds. So." Yeah. And I also don't want him to retaliate if he finds out it's me. I'm really scared.
Oh, yeah, because he can set traps. He's a shifty guy.
He's going to trap you. Yeah. Yes.
The police
still know his circumstance, though. I won't feel as bad. Brian is just going to be like, oh, just like can't eat his cookies. Okay.
The police tell me that the local animal control officer is no longer a position in the city. So there isn't one.
God.
They said you have to contact LA County. So I call the county, and the county tells me,
"Good for you, Brian."
The county tells me we can't go out. This is not something that we would go out to see. This is not something we would do. We need the police to tell us to go there. So I have to. I call the police again, and I say, "Can you tell the animal control to go out there?"
You're dealing with siblings. Like, fine, you go tell mom.
Yes. So finally. Okay. They go out there and they knock on the person's door and they say, "Did you call animal control?" And they say, "No, we did not."
God.
And they leave. And then they leave. So I'm like, I'm waiting like 2 hours. I'm still watching this possum. And it's been in there for over 2 days at this point. And so I call back animal control and I say, "What happened?" And they say, "They told us, but they didn't call." It's like, "No, you don't understand. I'm snitching. You need to come to me, and I'll show it to you in the backyard. It's not them. They're not gonna tell you we're torturing animals back here." So they're like, "Well, you have to get the police to call us and tell us to come back." So I call the police again.
Brian.
I call
Good
the police
man.
Again, and they say, "Okay, we'll tell them." Animal control is on its way, they say. And then...
are not getting anything done this day.
Yeah, no, I'm just, I just feel, I wanted to make pancakes and the whole day I'm hungry and I'm
just, awesome pancakes.
And I'm like, I don't want to make pancakes.
How do you eat those pancakes?
I don't want to make pancakes when the police show up. That'll be horrible. I'll be in the middle of a pancake and it'll get burned. I don't want to
be eating
that.
Around the edge.
Is Allie, your fiance, here also like with you monitoring, staking it out? Or is she kind of just like, Brian's doing his thing?
She's not here this weekend. I'm all alone.
Okay.
I'm just alone. Fuck. And I'm looking at this thing, and
explains
I just wanted to make pancakes so I would feel better. And then, my neighbor, who is an 88-year-old woman who I have a very good relationship with.
Another neighbor?
A downstairs neighbor.
Got it.
Yes. She doesn't fuck around, and she loves animals. And I say, you know, our neighbor's got a possum and blah, blah, blah. And she says, "Well, I'll go over there and I'll talk to him. I have a pre-existing relationship with him." I was like, "Oh, okay." And he's like, "But you got to wait till he's outside and then I'll go over there and I'll talk to him." So I post up at my window. As soon as that man comes outside to check his recycling, I text my neighbor. I say, "He's out." And then my neighbor says, "Okay." And then she goes out there. Excuse me. My upstairs neighbor says... And I'm like,
no,
you don't understand.
No
I'm
one
snitching.
Understands the game. Okay.
Yes. My upstairs neighbor says that he sees a possum and it's cruel. And then at the exact same moment, animal control shows up. Yes. The man, but unfortunately, the man has now been tipped off. Animal control shows up, and I'm watching this out my window. I watch the guy
look at your window.
No, he goes into his backyard. He knows animal control is here. He knows that we know about the possum. He goes into the backyard. He lifts up the cage, and he hides it in his shed. Yeah, he hides
what
it.
What an
in
asshole!
Shed.
You have to get involved. You have to get involved. You have to say that I just saw him hide it. Come on, Brian.
So the neighbor comes up and tells me that animal control is here. I go out and talk to animal control, and
do you tell him that I saw him hide it?
They say, "So what's going on?" I said, "The possum's back there." And at this point, the possum is not moving. I'm assuming it's been in there for 2.5 days. No water, no food in the rain. And the animal control person is like, "Well, this guy's saying that that he released the possum in the mountains this morning." And I was like, "No, I just saw him." And I'm like, "I just saw him. In fact, I filmed him pick up the cage and put it in the shed. I show Animal Control my phone video of him putting the cage in the shed. Animal Control is like, we have video evidence that the possum is still back there and you just put it in the shed. And he's like, if the possum is dead, you might be criminally charged for animal cruelty. You better hope the possum is alive. Just give me the possum. Give me the possum and let me take it from you. I'll just release it.
He should be charged anyway. The possum has been is near death.
He's tortured.
He's allowed to trap the animal, but he can't keep it in there until it starves to death and dies.
Right, but what if it's about to die? You know, like, isn't that a crime? Like, why is there not, like, if you hit someone with your car and don't kill them, you still get in trouble? Okay, go on.
So the guy's like, okay, now that there's video evidence, I'm going to go and get the possum. He takes the cage out. He brings it. And I say, should I stay here? Because I don't want to have a confrontation with the neighbor, but I do want to see what the possum's situation is. He puts the cage down. The possum is not moving. The animal control person takes out another cage, pokes at the possum, and it wakes up.
Yes!
Yay!
And then he's like, what the fuck is going on? The possum is okay. The animal control person takes the possum, puts it in her cage. She says, I'm going to release it in the mountains. And then she puts it in her truck. And then my neighbor scowls at me. But he doesn't get in trouble either, which is fine. I don't want him to get in trouble and then have a vendetta. The possum is okay. The possum gets driven
to
the mountains.
This motherfucker.
The farmer isn't arrested. And I get to eat my pancakes. And I feel good that I saved the possum, but I also am in fear.
Yeah, I'd be in fear too. I mean, now he knows. Yeah. You're going to be, man, because every time you leave your house, do you have a chance of like seeing him? Like, where is his car? Like, is there a place to run into him? I guess just to get the mail or take out the recycling. You're going to have to time it now.
Oh, I see him all the time. And and then I try to smile at him and he never smiles back. But now he's definitely
not going to smile back.
Yeah, this
guy's a fucking lunatic.
He sounds like a serial killer.
He really does. He sounds like the guy that you're like, well, I did notice, like the news team comes and goes, would you ever think he would have all these bodies in his basement? And you'll go, well, there was a possum situation. This is so often the case, you know, where you are witnessing a person abuse animals or people or their kids and you don't want to say anything because you know you're dealing with a psycho. And so I'm so proud of you for saying something though and like calling the right people and getting it done. I don't know what I would have done in that circumstance. I would have probably moved out because I'm like, I can't watch this possum die, but I'm too scared of this man.
What is this thing that we all have? Is it like a trauma response? Like, Nikki, you reposted that great tweet the other day. Somebody wrote something like, that thing when men get angry with you when you simply told them what happened, like you explain to a man something that he did and then he gets mad at you for explaining it. It's like you're now, Brian, in fear,
in
because
trouble.
You just called out something totally inappropriate and you're in fear. Why? This guy should be in fear. But it's like you're scared. He's the one that fucked up. I say live your life happily and fucking peacock your chest out because you did the right thing. You're the good guy. He's the asshole that's torturing animals. And you've got your eye on him. And don't let him scare you. Don't let him terrorize you because you'll fucking call the cops again.
I feel that way all the time. It's such an... There was an instance of it, even with Matt and the confrontation with the guy in Charleston in the lobby... I instantly felt, because when he got mad at us, I felt he's right, we're wrong, we're in trouble, I need to just like give up. Like, I can't take anyone being mad at me or if I break a rule, even if a rule is dumb, I was talking about it to someone yesterday, or I was scared of like, we had pot on us or something, and I was like scared of someone smelling it and like, no, and I know the pot laws, like most places it's legal or whatever, but there was a part of me that was like scared about someone being arrested and they were like, who cares? It's like, and I go, well, it's stinky and it's annoying. So we should take it over here. And they're like, but it doesn't matter. And I go, well, I'm scared. It is illegal and I will get arrested. And if I get arrested, there's no me going like, but I didn't mean, it's just put my hands behind my back, acquiesce. Like, I would never, and this is maybe a white person thing. Like, I don't think I could ever be charged with a crime and I'd go, but I didn't. I would just fucking take it. I've never, whenever I've gotten yelled at about you guys are too loud in this restaurant, or like, not that that's ever happened, but I'm trying to give examples where you're like, well, this is okay that we're doing this, or like, you can't take this chair. This chair belongs over here, even though no one's new using that chair. I just go, oh, I'm so sorry. Take back the chair. There's no, I will never finagle anything. I will never get a good deal on something. I will never go like, but I think you said that I could get the, I will just always give you all the money that you want. I don't want to ever try to scam the system ever.
What about when a company wrongs you in some way?
Yes. This is another example. I was talking about, you know, someone was saying, oh, when I was talking about living in St. Louis, and I go, you know, it's nice because studios, if they want me on their shows, they just fly me out and put me up. And then if they don't have the money, I'll do it myself. And they go, they always have the money. I go, I understand that Warner Brothers has the money, has millions of dollars that they would not even know about if it went missing and they'd find another way to make it. But what I'm saying is, there's a human being that is managing the money that was allocated for their travel expenses for their talent. And there's a human being that is going to catch shit from another human being because I am asking for an additional night at this hotel. So I know it's not about the company. It's about a human being who is in charge of that money, this arbitrary amount of money. And that's who I'm trying to not get in trouble or protect. Like, I fuck Apple, fuck Whole Foods, fuck Amazon. But there are people that are catching the brunt of these expenses, or you stealing from a CVS, the manager of that store, yes, steal from CVS. Like, I got so mad at my friend Taylor because she shoplifts all the time. She's like, it's the man, steal from the fucking man. Target doesn't care, or whatever. And it's like, no, but that manager of that Target has a family and has like, he's going to catch shit because there's too much theft going on in his place. It's not about the corporation. I wish we could just steal straight from the Amazon headquarters, but there is no Amazon headquarters. It's all in the cloud.
I just was in Mexico on vacation and we were out at brunch and they had a huge bachelorette party. And between when we ordered and when we got our lunch, it was an hour and 10 minutes or something. And at the 45-minute mark,
would have died in that time.
I left because I had to go do your podcast. So I was like, I got to go. You guys have fun at lunch. And I left my party there. And I told the waiter, can you just cancel my tacos? I have to go run to work. And his face just fell. And, you know, I was like, I'm sorry. And then a few days later, my dad and I were talking and he was like, do you know that here in Mexico, the waiters are charged anytime somebody cancels an order or something? And I was like, what? And I made a point to get the money to that waiter because I do not want that guy to have to pay for my lunch that I canceled.
Interesting. So why would that be?
I don't know.
I was at dinner last week with some Australians and there was a question about whether there was butter in one of the dishes because I'm vegan and I ordered this asparagus, but it tasted really buttery. It tasted too good, you know? And I was like, I think there's butter in this. And the busboy, and I go, we got to find our waiter to ask because I had specifically asked him. The busboy came over and my friend Bex, the Australian, was like, do you know if there's butter in this? And I go, he doesn't fucking, like, we all were like, no, don't ask the busboy. Like, I guess in Australia, busboys are, there's no busboys. Everyone is just working in the same system. In America, busboys generally don't know what's going on with your orders. They're refilling waters. They're bussing the table. They're bringing out plates. But they don't know the ingredients of the salad. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So there's,
yeah,
I guess there's different things.
The chef's meal.
What'd you say?
They haven't like sampled the family meal ahead of time.
I mean, they're same maybe like taking bits of food off plates that they bus. Because I used to do that when I would bus tables, but
I have awkward interactions with busboys all the time because I don't realize that they're the busboy. I think they're the waiter. And then I go, can I order a... Oh, wait, you're the busboy? Oh, is the waiter... Can I talk to you? No, never mind. That happens like every time.
And they usually don't speak English. Yes. No offense. And they're just kind of looking at you blankly and you go, I'll just wait. And it's just, it's awkward. But that's interesting. Good to know in Mexico, if you cancel your order, it's they're eating the cost. And maybe they're eating your order. Who knows? I'm
so
in
sad.
Miami right now. I couldn't sleep last night. I didn't get to bed till 6 a.m. I don't know what is wrong with me. I need to start tallying my sleep because it's just not, there's not enough. And I don't know what, I had caffeine yesterday. I think that was the thing. But I needed caffeine this is the paradox of caffeine. You need it because you're tired to go to the event that you have to be on for. And then you drink a little too much. And then the second you are done with the event and it's time to go sleep, you cannot. And so I gotta not do caffeine anymore. I'm going to, I usually don't do it. I get decaf lattes every day, but I had some yesterday because I went to the Oscar party here in Miami, the Vanity Fair Oscar party. Haven't been invited to the Vanity Fair Oscar party in LA, but Miami, I was, it was hosted by Xeomin, which is like a injectable thing that I did a sponsorship for. And, went to this like hoity-toity event, got full hair and makeup, and flew here after Buffalo. My friend Robin and Jen are here. We went out afterwards. The Oscars, I could barely listen because we were at this party and it would play and everyone's talking. I think Kimmel killed it. Kimmel is just so good, you know, and we've seen him get good. I remember watching him on The Man Show. He used to host Win Ben Stein's Money. Like, he went from being this like affable, chummy guy. He was always good, but he's just so, you know, the best kind of performers, they just make you feel like you're in good hands. You're not nervous for them. Mm-hmm. It's they're a Greyhound bus driver that you know has gotten a lot of sleep. He's been doing this forever. You don't worry. Like, whenever I get on a bus, I'm always worried. That's overnight. I worry about the bus driver falling asleep. I can't sleep because I'm worried, and I have to look at him like Brian watching the possum. I'm like constantly checking in. Like, is his head nodding off? I have no comfort in a bus situation ever. When I went on the Bert Kreischer tour, I had panic, and I had my assistant call Bert's assistants to ask about the bus driver situation, how many hours, if they were like, you know, unionized, like if there are rules about how many hours they can ride, because I know they'll push it. They'll take a couple 5-hour energies, smoke some meth, get through the night. I wanted like to make sure I know what they do out there. And truck drivers, it's very dangerous. Like, it's a dangerous job, and they got to stay awake,
speed,
and they find
not meth.
Ways to
that
do
is
it.
Something that you would deep dive into is the life of truck drivers on
the
road.
Well, I can't deep dive too much because I will never sleep again because they're all on no sleep, and I just worry about their mental health less than them falling asleep on the road. I'm just like, every time I see a truck driver, then I will have a bleeding heart of like, you're not getting enough sleep, which is me just like really obviously projecting constantly all over everyone. But so Kimmel, though, like I always talk about this when people are like, you're such a good comedian, or like, what's the secret? It's like getting on stage enough so that you being funny is one part, is a huge part of it. No questions asked, like writing jokes. And that comes with time, but that can also come with writers. That can also come with people helping you, like, you know, like we were talking about. I go, how does this world exist? How does he know about tank engines? And Chris is like, the writer calls up people that know about tank engines, and then he gets information. And I'm like, okay. So comedians can use writers, but that confidence that you have on stage, that you are the bus driver that isn't going to fall asleep. Like, Kimmel walks out and you go, he's got this. Someone could run up on stage. Shit could happen. A light could fall down. You know, Lady Gaga could start like having a seizure, and Kimmel is going to handle it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're safe. And not all hosts can do that. I mean, I don't think I have that kind of calm. And that's what I always try to do at the beginning of my shows, is like try to make everyone feel like we're in good hands. Because generally with stand-up comedy, everyone in the crowd is thinking, I could never do that. Not everyone, but I would say the dates of I have my mega fans who are like, we know what she's capable of. And we love comedy, and we come to comedy shows all the time. We know how this works. And then there's their date they brought that doesn't go to comedy shows. And their date, whether it's a guy or girl, is thinking, oh my God, I could never do that. That would be so scary. I'd be so nervous. And then they project that onto you, and you need to instantly give them like the feeling you're okay. Everything's fine. That's why in America, it's so fucking crazy that shows start with an MC who is the least experienced on the show. That's why I introduce my own shows like from the backstage, because I'm like, I want a voice of like calm. And not that Anya, you're a consummate professional, you're someone who makes everyone feel relaxed, even more so than me. Sometimes I watch you on stage and I'm like, damn, the way she handled that last week, this past weekend she handled a heckler, and it was so funny and so good and so present. But Kimmel just makes me feel that way. And his, I just want to, when we come back from break, I want to go over a couple of the jokes that I really enjoyed from his monologue, and maybe talk about some Oscar moments. Brian, I'm guessing you watched it?
I did not.
You did not? Okay, Anya watched it.
I did not.
I haven't seen a single movie.
I looked up the list after.
Okay. Okay. We'll talk about when we get back. We'll talk about what we didn't watch when we get back.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. Guys, I'm on tour, not this next weekend. I have one weekend off, but not really, because I'm going to DC to watch Chris's Adam Sandler Mark Twain Prize thing this weekend. That'll be fun. So I'm off, but am I really off? Full hair and makeup, travel.
You better be on.
I swear to God, every weekend that I'm off, there's something else going on. Even though I want to do this and I'm not having to be on, it's like you can't get any time off. But it's going to be awesome. Please watch the Mark Twain Prize when that airs on CNN. I don't know exactly when it's at the end of the month. But I'm coming to the Pacific Northwest next week, the 24th and 25th, Friday and Saturday. I'll be in Spokane, Washington with Anya Marina and Eugene, Oregon on Saturday. So come out to those shows if you want. We had a great time with Besties this past weekend in Rochester, Buffalo, and Ithaca. So that will be so fun. The Oscars, I loved Kimmel's joke about Ozempic. He's like, I can't help but look around the room and think, Ozempic might work for me. I just loved, that is one of my favorite joke deliveries of just, you read it and you know exactly how to deliver it. It made me want to host the Oscars so bad, his jokes, because they were just, you don't have to do a sing and dance Billy Crystal thing. I'm like, I want to host an event like this and just have like scathing jokes that just kind of toe the line. He said something about Tom Cruise looking hot and he was like, L. Ron Hubba Hubba. Like, he said something. He made a little dig about Scientology.
Was Tom Cruise there?
No. No, of course not. Oh, because okay. Tom Cruise can't go anywhere where Scientology might be mocked. I mean, that is essentially why I think he wasn't there. Even though Maverick was, you know, nominated. And then, of course, he talked about the Will Smith thing. He made a joke about... there's so many Irish people nominated. His first dig at it was there's so many Irish people nominated that, like, this is the year where there's going to be a brawl on stage. Like, it's going to get really something about that. And then he made another comment about, you know, if you, oh, he goes, guys, this year there's a plan in place. If anyone assaults anyone else, just do exactly what you did last year. Nothing. Do nothing. And then, oh no, he goes, if anyone comes up here and assaults anyone, we will immediately give you a best actor win and let you do a 19-minute long speech. Oh, and he's like, God. Just do nothing. He goes, no, even don't even try it this week or this year. And then he just listed all the people that will, like, fight for him, like, that are there. He's like, I have Spider-Man here. And they zoom in on Andrew Garfield. And he's like, I've got, you know, and he's going through all of them. It was fun. It was a nice acknowledgement. And there was, I think, a couple other digs throughout the show. He said this, oh, you know, last year the slap happened during the documentary film announcement. And so this year he was like, and now to announce, you know, the best documentary. This was the time where we had some issue last year. Let's hope this time it goes off without a hitch or without Hitch, which yes. Wilson has played Hitch. I thought that was a good line. So a lot of fun jokes last night. I didn't really see the speeches. I guess Jamie Lee Curtis won. I don't know. Was there any moments, Anya, you watched it? Did you care about anything?
I wept. I tuned in at like 8:07 or something. I was a little late, and I just immediately. Well, I love the Oscars. I've always loved them. I'm like Chris and Brian watching Game of Thrones. It has to be quiet, like no interruptions.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So
you don't go to Oscar parties.
No, I loved it. I just watched it alone for like an hour, and then Matt came down with a big bowl of popcorn and reluctantly watched it with me. But yeah, I wept when Kay Hu Kwan or whatever won Best Supporting for Everything Everywhere All at Once. He was like, this is great. He was so excited. And he was just like talking about being from an immigrant family and how he's like, I'm living the American dream. Plus, I had watched a clip of his that was viral where he was like, I could not get medical insurance 2 years ago because it was a pandemic, couldn't get anywhere. And now it's like he got nominated for an Oscar and then won. He was just so grateful.
Sorry.
And overjoyed. It was cute.
I'm going to be cynical.
That's okay.
This isn't the American dream. This is not possible. There's not any, most people from immigrant families that come to the U.S. or, you know, will never have this opportunity. It's one in a billion, almost. Like, it's probably one in 500 million at least to even get a chance to ever be in a movie and get this level of success. He won a lottery. This is not a dream that America offers anyone. It is it maybe used to be. It's not anymore. But America loves this presentation of like, you can come here and this can be your life. It's not gonna be. We're probably gonna offer a better life than wherever you came from. There's no denying that in a lot of cases. But I don't like this thing of like, that this could happen to anyone else. And I don't like people to claim that they worked hard for something. I don't like it anymore because I don't claim I work hard for things. Yes, I do. But I got lucky because I was born with a brain that worked hard. Everything is luck. None of this really matters. I'm cynical about these shows. When I went to the Critics' Choice, I was like, had a existential crisis of like, everyone in this room is playing dress up. This is embarrassing. Everyone in here thinks they like did something special when they were just probably either born with parents that were rich and supportive or... And mine too. My parents were financially supportive of me. Like, and they were born with a talent. Like, we should just celebrate, like, you were lucky enough to be born with this talent. We can do that. But don't act like anyone's man-made or self-made. I just don't buy it. And I don't buy that America lets people, like, I think this is really suits the narrative we would like to say for the immigrant experience of, like, you can make it. No, you can't. No, you can't. Odds are you're not going to win an
Oscar. I definitely think that's true. That's definitely true of casting. Like, if you think that you got cast in a role because you were the best one. You're wrong. There was 40 people who were the best one. Mm-hmm. And out of those 40, one of them was randomly selected, essentially, based on some weird thing that a casting director had. Oh, I saw they drank an orange juice. How do you choose?
You always hear the stories of how people are cast, and it's like, I had seen him in this production of this one show. Like, it's, or, you know, you're right. Like, I saw the way he brought in an orange juice into the audition. And I like the way he didn't cap his orange juice. And it really spoke to the character. And it's just like, that was just a random fucking thing that happened. Or she gave a blowjob. Or she gave she gave the idea that she might blow you someday. Do you know how many actresses you know about because they fucked someone? Really? And I'm not talking about like old timey. You know, most of your favorite actresses have done sexual favors for stuff. And I maybe not most, I would say way more than you think. Your favorite actresses.
Two
have
of
at
the
least,
four people here.
I'm not kidding. Do you think I know that I've gotten roles because or opportunities because men have wanted to fuck me. I know it. I haven't fucked them. That's not me being like, I'm better than that. If I was a different person, I would have fucked them. I don't blame you for fucking someone for a role. If you think that you're talented enough and the only way you're going to get it is to fuck someone and you don't care about fucking them, it's not going to really like affect your bottom line as a human being, do it. I don't care. I'm not trying to be controversial here or accusatory or I'm just saying it like it is. Like, the reason people get things is not because they're talented most of the time. And the reason they're talented is not because they worked harder or because they're better than you. It's just they were born with this talent. And I think the Oscars just like, I think the Olympics is cool because it is a meritocracy. You know, like there's no nepotism in athletics. There might be a little bit, like you might get your son into the right kind of camps that make him train better and then... But you got to be fucking good. You got to run fast. You got to be a good player. Well, you got to have a good arm. Do you agree? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. It's just that there are certain countries that are able to have the facilities and the money and the disposable income to put people. That's why America isn't the most athletic nation in the world. It's not like we genetically have all the athletes and that's why we win all the medals. It's because we have so much income.
Yeah,
we just take someone when they're 3 years old and we put them in a pool and we make them swim and we pay for everything they could ever want. There's a book you got to read, Nikki.
Oh,
it's called The Talent Code.
The Talent Code. I know The Talent Code. You got me into The Talent Code. And that is what has changed everything. I mean, that took me that got me into like there's no free will. Beyonce is Beyonce because of, first of all, she has an inborn talent. She was born with like the right kind of structure in her head to produce that sound, the right vocal cords. Everything is working. So she was born with it. It wasn't something she invented or she created. And then she trained from the day, she was probably singing and training since she was two. And I'm not joking. And she went to, there's a lot of talent that comes out of exactly where she went to go train. She's the best out of all of them. But she didn't come out of nowhere. I didn't come out of nowhere. People think like, you're so good. And I go, because I've been doing it for 20 some odd years. I'm coming up on the 20th anniversary, I think, of doing stand-up March 12th. What's the date right now? Is it March? Oh, yesterday.
Wow. Oh,
I've been doing comedy for 20 years.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, my God. Hey,
that's huge.
It was March like 12th or it might have been March 13th. So this might be it. But it was the first time I went on stage and then I took a break. But I mean, like, that's why I'm good. It's not because, yes, I'll say it's because I'm quick and like my brain is, I'm smarter than a lot of people. There's no doubt about that. I'm smart. There are many people that are smarter than me. But I didn't make my smartness. You didn't make your legs that made you a fast runner. You have those. You can train properly. We all think we're in control of it. But the talent code is fascinating because that is what got me on the controversial take of anyone could be a comedian if they want to be. Anyone could be anything they want to be. It's just about how many hours you devote to it and how young you intercept them. That's why China's good at gymnastics. They rob girls of their childhood much like we do. I mean, I remember when Kirsten got really good at gymnastics, we were like doing gymnastics at the same time. She was always better than me, more inclined, just has the body for it, born with it, not taking anything from her, but she is. And she started going up the levels. And then suddenly when she was like at competitive level, bye-bye Kirsten, no more hangout because you have to go to the gym for 4 hours after school every single day. And it was like, and she got, thankfully she got out of it before high school really kicked into gear, because she would have had no experience except that one, which isn't not an experience. You have friends there and you have a social life there that becomes something, but it wouldn't have, it's a huge sacrifice that these people make. It's so rare that, you know, you see videos sometimes of like an autistic girl just like going up to a piano and just playing a Bach concerto, and she's blind and her head is spinning around and she just like never practiced it. She heard it one time. That is something we don't understand yet, but that is also something that she couldn't control. Like, no one, don't stop giving people credit for being talented. We can give them credit for being lucky. And that's, but I remember Dat Fan, who won Last Comic Standing the first season, he came, he shouldn't have won. He had literally 10 minutes of comedy tops. He won the first season. He came to KU to perform. I would just started comedy like a year before. I went to go see him. I'm front row. I'm so excited. He's not good. He's mediocre, whatever. Most of his show was like a reel we watched of him on the show. And then he did a Q&A. I mean, these are all tricks I know to fill time now. You like start with a video, you do your act, then you end with a Q&A. He did a Q&A. I raised my hand and I go, how does it feel to be like so lucky to have won that show? Because he was against like Rich Voss and like Todd Glass, Ralphie May. Like, there were people in place. I forget exactly the makeup of. He shouldn't have won. Just like when I was on Last Comic Standing, I was lucky. I had 5 minutes of comedy. So many people were better than me. And I said that, and I will never forget. I go, how lucky are you to have, do you feel so grateful that you, like, I said something about luck, and he goes, luck had nothing to do with it. And I was just like, what? He got so mad. And it's like, dude, everything is luck. I mean, more so than I even knew at the time. But certainly for him to win that show, it was just luck that he was in the right place at the right time. But people hate that because they want, final thought, people hate to have luck as the thing because it's not in your control. And everyone wants control and to be able to go, no, I earned that. I did that because I'm smart. And it's like, well, you got lucky that you were born with parents, by parents who were smart, and they gave you some of their genetic smartness. It's not, you're just lucky. But then at the same time, I've noticed people who, you know, I'm something, when I started getting things in my career, people always used to go, I'm so glad you're getting this. You deserve it. You work hard. And it really bothered me because people were excusing my talent as she just got that because she worked hard. Like, she's not born with it. She's not a natural. She just got it because she worked hard. And then there are people who don't work hard, who are just naturals, who hate when people go, you're a natural. And they go, no, because I got this because I worked hard. So no matter what you get credit for, I realize you want the other one. It's always greener on the other side of the I can't control it street, which, because we're always looking for something that like, no, I did this. Brian, thoughts?
Yeah, it's like being a musician or a comedian or an athlete. It's like, if you're an athlete, you want to do comedy. If you're a musician, you want to be an athlete. And if you're a comedian, you want to be a... Did I say that already? I forgot what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. No, it's true. Everyone wants to be... But do you believe in free will? Are you on the no free will train yet?
I believe that the universe is random chaos, and this is a charade that is leading towards nothing. But I also think that we do have some... We have some agency over what occurs, and I really do think that the decisions you make today will affect what happens 3-5 years from now.
Yeah, butterfly effect. Like,
yes.
Yeah, little things. Yeah, totally.
Like I went out of my way to release that possum, and maybe in a couple of weeks I'll read a story in the news that says, like, local possum eats baby, and I'll feel terrible about it. That's just what happens.
Starving possum.
We don't. Yes,
goes against its possum. Natural instincts in the mountains.
Yes, we just don't know what effects we're gonna have, and that's where the luck comes in. It's like, hopefully the decision, because you don't know. It's like gambling. It's like, oh, I think Anthony Davis is gonna get 40 points today. It's like, it might feel like that's the right decision when you place the bet, but then he gets 10 points and you lose $2,000.
And that's where, like, we get, well, into the psychic thing of people going like, I just had a feeling. Everyone loves to say that of like, I just knew. Like when we were playing that psychic game on the girls' trip, Anya, It just like irritated me so much how everyone didn't see the mind games that were being played. Like, we all wrote down. So Brian, we got together on this girls trip. We all wrote down like a word on a piece of paper, and then we crumple like whatever word, just like we just are like the first word that comes to your mind, whatever pops in your head, which I think is an example of no free will because you don't control what thought pops up. It just does. And it was a perfect example of that. So you write down all these words, we crumple them up, we put them to a thing, and then we each have a question in our lives and we ask the question aloud, like, what should I do about this, my future? It could be as, you know, vague as that. And then you open the thing and it would say volcano. And we would go, that means that you are spewing creativity soon. And that
it was like tarot card reading.
You just project what you want onto it, which is fun. And it's a good way to interpret life. But I don't, you know, I don't know that there's really, although I will say that we talk about the astrological sign thing on here and like astrology a lot and how I think it's probably bullshit, but you know, who cares? It's fine. If it's not harming anyone, it's not like religion. It doesn't seem to be like organizing people to hate other people, even though it kind of is when people are like, any Scorpios, I'm not working with you, AKA J-Lo.
You're fired.
Yeah. But we did a thing where, you know, on Instagram, there's all those like, they'll have like different slides for your sign and it's like, it's a meme and it's like, this is a Scorpio meme and this is a Aquarius meme. So we blindly took all of them and took off the sign and then we sent them on my girls chat and I said, everyone read through all of these and see which one suits you the most, which one describes you the most, and then see what sign it is. And instead of just finding your sign and going, oh no, that's so me, because that's the cognitive fucking tricks that our mind plays to give us what we want. And I will say that most of us picked our own sign. And that was wild. Isn't that crazy? So there's, and you know, I leave open, as much as I think I know the laws of the universe and I know everything and I'm a Miss Know-It-All, I will say that the one show that got me to question afterlife is the show After Death or something. It's a Tyler Henry's show, the little psychic kid who scribbles on a piece of paper and talks to people who are dead. And I wrote on his Instagram this week because it was a year since the anniversary of his show debuting on Netflix. And I wrote a comment. I was like, is this like so lame? But I was like, this show changed everything for me. I look at death. I now look at death differently. And I meant it. Like, that show changed. That little experiment we did in the girls chat with the astrology, I go, okay, I'm open to it. I might embrace this. And then Tyler Henry's show, I think there might be ghosts. I think there might be an afterlife. I'm not, like, I'm open to it. And it's interesting how you can even be open to that stuff from a Netflix show.
I mean, it's a comforting thought for sure. I hope there's ghosts. I hope that there's something. I mean, the biggest fear that I have is that there's nothing, and that's probably the case. And that's why ghost shows are like full of hope. It's like, oh, that tortured ghost is something.
I'm not going to be nothing. But do you ever think about the thing of like you just go back to the way it was before you were born? Does that bring you comfort? You've heard that, obviously, right?
Yeah, it makes me no comfort. It makes me want to scream and jump out a window. But that's probably the case.
Yeah,
I'm going to be frozen in a tube until they can fix aging, and they're going to defrost me, and they're going to be like,
they're getting on it.
Yeah, I need to be
that's
defrosted.
What my dad wants.
Yes,
my dad wants to be decapitated and frozen head. And then they'll clone all the stuff in his head and he can come back. Why? Why would you want to be back as an 81-year-old man?
Well, maybe he's enjoying life as an 81-year-old man. And it's like, he can't go back to his 31-year-old self. So he's just got to take what he can get. But I do agree.
Maybe you can. Maybe you can put your brain and your memories into a robo body and you can walk around and you can jump 8 feet high.
That's true.
I don't want to come back to whatever world we're living in when they have that technology. It's going to be it's so advanced. I'm not going to know the new apps. There's going to be some new app that all the kids are on and I'm going to feel so out of it. I'm terrified of aging, not because of the looks, but because I'm so scared of being stupid with technology. And right now I'm like, I'm starting to get a little stupid. Like I don't know how to make a reel. I don't know how to like do fade in. I don't know how to do that thing where you like talk behind an image or in front of an image and you're like, see what she's wearing here? Like, I don't know how to do that yet. I know I can figure it out. I just figured out how to fast forward YouTube. So yeah, I'm getting there. But
tap tips.
Let's talk about
you don't have
tomorrow.
To worry about any. Oh, sorry. You don't have to worry about what? Any of that, by the way. You don't have to worry what about learning anything, because in the next 5 to 10 years, all you're gonna have to do is ask the AI to do it for you. You don't have to learn any of this shit.
Really?
AI will do it for you. You'll just type, can you please make a reel for me where my head is in front of a blah blah blah, and the AI will do it for you. You don't even have to know coding anymore. It's crazy.
This is relaxed. That's makes me feel both better and more awful. So I don't know.
It also makes me feel bad.
This and more tomorrow on the podcast. I'm so glad you're going to be around. You were so fun today, Brian Frangi. Thank you for being here. Again, Spokane, Washington, Eugene, Oregon, 24th and 25th, coming up in 2 weeks. Come to those shows. Anya Marina, thank you for being here. Noah, I love you so much. Don't be kuh. And just ask the ChatGTP to do it. Is that the name of them?
Yeah.
Sweet, I got it right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.